Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I am joined with Stephanie Elizabeth. She is going to tell you about who she is and what she does.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Stephanie Elizabeth. I'm an intuitive coach and guide, and I specifically support highly sensitive and neurodivergent people, helping them to strengthen, reconnect, reclaim their intuition and their magic, and also start to build more supportive relationships with themselves, their inner life, as well as with their guide, their intuition, and even with their body, because a lot of times we aren't very connected with our bodies in this culture. So that's what I help people with in my business. And of course, that's all based on my own journey of intuitive living and rediscovering my intuition and really using it to support the life that I want to live. And not just for myself, but also for my ancestors and my family to really disrupt some of the patterns that we've had that maybe aren't serving so well. So that's been my path, and that's also what I help my clients with. And then additionally, I'm also a singer-songwriter and a session vocalist, and I've done some original music under a few different names and artists. So music is really a key thing for me, and it's also something that I incorporate into my business as a complement to the guided meditations that I offer, which is a really core part of my approach to everything that I mentioned. That's a little bit of an intro to me. Also, just about me personally, I live in Connecticut in the U.S., and I'm queer, and I am neurodivergent myself. I'm autistic, and I have ADHD, and yeah, that's my intro.
So first of all, I want to start off by saying I'm not too familiar what an intuitive coach does. To me, when I think about the word intuition, I just jump to gut feeling or doing what you believe is best for you. Can you speak more about what specifically intuitive coaching is and how one could improve their intuition?
Yeah, definitely. So intuition can take a lot of different forms. And that's one of the key things that I'm helping people with, is to find out how their intuition works, because it can be different for everybody. We're all in our own bodies, and each of our bodies is organized in a certain way, and our nervous system is organized in a certain way. And especially for the people that I work with who are highly sensitive, we're just generally sensitive to the energetic, to the actual sensory five senses experience. And oftentimes are experiencing a lot more of that than folks who aren't highly sensitive. And so it's about finding out, like you said, the gut feelings. That's definitely a key part of it. And that's one of the things that I help people tune into specifically with their body guide. So that's a way of connecting with your body's intelligence. And I can say more about that later, but just to focus on intuition generally for now. So it can come through the forms of the gut feeling. Sometimes a lot of the people I work with will have like a sudden mental insight that kind of just drops in versus like just thinking about something and thinking it through and arriving at a conclusion. This is more like suddenly a conclusion just appears spontaneously. So that's another method. People can be clairvoyant, so they see imagery either in their mind's eye, or sometimes people can actually see like non-physical beings. So that could be ghosts or spirit guides or what have you. That's a less common gift, to actually physically see like with your eyes open. And then another form is clairaudience, which is hearing. So that can be like hearing voices in your inner ear or in the space around you, and also actually connecting to music. So it's really like intuition, to summarize, is really any quote unquote irrational way of knowing or gathering information or insight. And I just want to say that irrational, in my opinion, is not a negative thing by default. It just means we're not using logic. And so I really see intuition as a complement to our logic and our intellect. And it's another way to get a different perspective, to get outside of our heads and our default way of seeing things. So intuition can connect with our own sort of inner wisdom, the wisdom of our bodies, and also can help us connect with our guides and with spirit and our ancestors and beings who are outside of us, who are on some level separate entities. So I hope that makes sense. Let me know if you need any clarification.
No, that makes perfect sense. So I'll have this gut feeling and then I'll be like, maybe not, because this says that I should do this. I am someone who tends to consider more of the logical aspect as opposed to go with my gut instinct and my intuition. And I know the psychology behind it, where most decisions are made in the limbic system. Please correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not an expert on this by any means. And that has more to do with that gut instinct as opposed to that logic. Because if you're appealing to someone and you're trying to persuade or convince somebody to do it something, logical arguments can only go so far. You have to have that emotional aspect of it intertwined. So I'm wondering if you're somebody who's like me, who second guesses everything and thinks, you know what, maybe I should look up the facts. Maybe I should go over this. How would you go with that intuition and make that decision quicker? Because going with your gut instinct is a lot faster than looking up 10 articles and reading through them all. Your point of view on that?
Yeah, thank you so much for raising. This is such a huge issue for folks. And I just want to say, first of all, that it's not just you. Honestly, most of us, to some degree, again, in this culture, I'm in the US, so that's where I'm centering my understanding. But I think in this culture, we're taught not to trust ourselves in so many ways. We're taught that external authorities know best and there's an expert and you should defer to an expert or research or evidence or all those things. And I'm not here to say that those things have no value. Like, sometimes there is like a factual answer to something and that we can uncover. So that's a real thing. And also, to your point, we can just go into like analysis paralysis. And I know this is something that I've also dealt with myself. So I really intimately get it. And I just see that as an outgrowth of the culture and the way that we're, most of us aren't raised to even know about our intuition, that it exists, that we have it, or how to tap into it. So I think on one level, there's just like we don't have a familiarity, we don't have language or understanding around this, to even know how to work with it or whether we can trust it. And definitely like with our intellect, that is a huge struggle that I see with my clients and sometimes with myself, where it's like my intellect is like, this intuitive thing doesn't make any sense. We feel safer when we have more detail that our brain can latch onto and understand and make sense of. And so there is like a vulnerability in leaning into your intuition. And for that reason, that's why I really recommend that people start doing experiments with your intuition. And this is one of the things that I invite my clients to do when we're working together in between our sessions, is to do experiments. So what I mean by that is you will start tapping into your intuition for little things. We don't want to start with some huge important decision, because that's way too vulnerable, anxiety producing. And especially if you don't have a strong relationship with your intuition already, you might not be in a position to fully integrate what's coming through, to interpret it, and know what to do with it. So the experiments are a way to start to build that connection, to build more skill, more capacity, and just even being able to observe and feel into, what is my gut reaction right now? What is my intuition telling me? And so an example of how this could look is, let's say I wake up and I want to go on a hike today and I can't decide where I want to go on a hike. I could take some deep breaths and just settle into my body, take a moment to just pause and just relax and calm down as much as possible. And then you can even say it aloud or say it in your mind, where should I go hiking today? And see what comes up. What comes to mind first of all? Or when you consider, let's say, two options, which one feels better in your body? Even just a little bit. So it's learning to attune to that. And over time, you do more of these experiments and you can gradually sort of increase the significance of what you're seeking guidance on. And eventually, for me, the way I access my intuition is very fluid at this point. I don't do a lot of like structured practices for myself. It's more like I just move through my day and I'm able to send a yes and a no on things in my body, as well as I'm able to receive and put guidance into action that comes to me from my guide. So it's a process, really. It doesn't mean that you aren't intuitive or that you can't learn to trust your intuition more. and use that as a resource. It's just a matter of practicing and growing your skill like anything else.
Okay, so you mentioned that you also work with neurodiverse individuals, and from my knowledge, this is people on the autistic spectrum.
So it includes anyone who really has a neurotype that is not proved by our dominant culture. Someone who doesn't fit into the social norm, someone who maybe has a different embodied experience of life than what we think of as the call in this culture. I do personally think that it's culturally influenced, although there is also a biological reality. But as far as specific identities or conditions that are associated, it would include autism and ADHD. It can include complex PTSD. It could include bipolar disorder or depression or anxiety, or really a lot of things we may think of mental health conditions can actually fall under the umbrella of neurodivergent. And so I'm using it as more of a general term. And then within that umbrella, autism is one lane in there.
I just want to ask now, so with your clients, I'm assuming some of them are neurodivergent. And I just want to know, when it comes to neurodivergence, are most of your clients have mental health disorders, or is it more that autistic spectrum disorder? Because just from experience, I've worked with kids specifically with autistic spectrum disorder. There's difference between a kid with an autistic spectrum disorder versus a kid who might have, I'd say, or maybe depression or bipolar disorder, because you'd approach those two situations differently. So I'm wondering, when it comes to intuitive coaching, how you appeal to each of those neurodivergent individuals?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think for me, all of my work, regardless of if my client is neurodivergent or if they don't identify as neurodivergent, or a lot of my clients, they don't necessarily resonate with neurodivergent as an identity, but they really resonate with being highly sensitive. To my understanding, I see highly sensitive as under a nerd umbrella, but it's really something that I think the terminology is evolving right now, and our understanding of autism and ADHD specifically is evolving right now. As far as my work and how I work with my neurodivergent clients or neurotypical clients, really, I customize it to that individual. So we'll start by really looking at, okay, where are they at to start with? What has worked well, if anything, with their intuition already? Where are they getting stuck? What are some of the things that come up that get them off track or feeling like they can't do this? And then we work on addressing what's at the root of that, whether it's beliefs or a way of viewing the world that is conflicting with their desire to be more intuitive. It could also be some of the things you mentioned, the self-doubt or just being more comfortable with your mind and your intellect. That is a really big thing that I see with my clients, and especially with folks who are autistic, tend to be very heady. And so it can be confronting to step out of that. But I think I really am just about customizing it. So I really focus on, what does this individual need support with? What accommodation might they need to fully participate in the coaching? So maybe that means we have captions on during the call, or maybe that means that we just give permission at the beginning for this client to take care of themselves in our session. Maybe that means they have to stop and step away. Or maybe that means like we just acknowledge that like this client doesn't sit still and it's not a problem. They don't need to try and sit still for me on the call. When it comes to accessing the intuition itself, I find that almost like the easiest part. And it's really like supporting all the things that feel challenging. We all need support. And that's one of the reasons that I love the work that I do. And not just about connecting with your intuition, which is an amazing goal in itself. It's really valuable. But also through that process, we're building in more of that internal support, more of that self-trust, and building a support system with your guide so they can help you because they want to help you. But you need to invite them in.
No, that's fine. Thank you so much for that. So now I want to touch on your experience as a vocalist and with vocal training. I'm someone who's also a singer, so I know how huge of a factor intuition is when it comes to vocal technique and even just singing vocal, because you don't have time to logically think about every note you're trying to hit. It's not, oh, this is a D sharp. I'm going to approach it like this because the song goes so fast, you know, you're running through each of the beats and you're like, I've got to go with my gut instinct. So I see how working on your intuition could definitely help with vocal technique, even the recording vocals that you do. Do you mind elaborating on how connecting with your intuition could help with vocal performance?
Yeah, sure. That's a really interesting question. So I think, first of all, like, you hit the nail on the head that on some level, being a vocalist is an embodied experience. So it's not something that's just happening in our mind. It requires our body. And that's one of the things that I think is so unique about being a vocalist is my instrument is me. I think that one of the reasons why it can be really vulnerable to be a performer when you're singing. I think that connection to the body is a really key thing for me. Just through developing my intuition, I became more connected to my body and I was able to notice where I hold back as a vocalist. Let's see where I think, oh, maybe I can't hit that note. So I'm going to go for a less ambitious run on that note or something. As well as I think for me, it's more in terms of the meaning behind the singing that I do and just understanding that singing is part of my spiritual gift just by virtue of the impact that my voice has on people, on the audience, when a live performance or someone's listening to one of my recordings. There's something about music in general and my voice in particular that can go right into the heart of things in a way that goes past our intellect. And I'm curious if you've experienced this where you can feel like you're completely fine and then you just hear this song and it just goes right into that tender place in your heart that you were maybe avoiding. And so that's one of the things that I see as a spiritual thing because I really like to give a cultural context. And so anything that can help people get more connected to themselves and their emotions and what's true for them, I think is spiritually meaningful to me. And also, it's like an ecstatic experience to be allowing the music and the sound and my voice to flow through me and flow out to the audience and then experience it landing for them and experience their reaction. Like, it's a whole mystical experience to me. And maybe that's not something that other people experience, but I think I also have an understanding for myself that my voice is something that I've been honing for many lifetimes. And in this lifetime, I think overall, and certainly more as I get more connected with my intuition, but I think I always go by ear. That's my natural way of doing it. And I don't really do a lot of strategizing of how I'm going to sing something unless I'm running into a challenge. There's always those tough notes where I'm like, okay, how do I want to address this part of the song? Yeah. But yeah, I think I really like to just go into sort of that gut experience and just try and feel what am I communicating? What are these words saying? What's the feeling behind it? How can I emphasize and bring out the meaning of the word? Some of the music that I make doesn't have lyrics. It just has vocalization, my more meditative music. But even with that, you're still conveying a feeling tone right through your voice. So for me, it's all very intuitive. And so I think the more I get connected with my intuition, the more I also can trust myself as a vocalist and as an artist in general.
Yes. And it's so funny when it comes to vocal performance, especially how much of it depends on the feeling and how it feels within your body. As vocalists, you think about placement. Are you carrying any tension within your body? Because I know some people, if you have a lot of tension in your shoulders or in your upper body, then that can prevent you from breathing properly. And then that messes up the quality of the vocal, because if you can't breathe, then you basically can't sing because the breath is everything when it comes to singing. So I'm wondering you, are there any tricks or things that you do to connect with your body? I know a lot of people bend over, they stretch, they go for a run, get some cardio, and then they slow down and do a vocal recording afterwards. Tell me what you found has worked for you.
Yeah, so I think for me, I bring in my guide for support. So if I have a performance, I might do some energy work, personal energy work to either just get myself fully grounded into my body, connected with the earth, connected with my guide and with my heart. My body, connected to the earth means I'm in my body. I'm not floating up in my head. So that's the core thing. And for me, calling in my guide, and sometimes I'll even make a prayer that I can do my best job of making an impact through the performance. So it's not even just about the aesthetics of it or the technical level, but just like, why am I doing this? And please support me to show up in the best way. So for me personally, doing those prayers and energy work and just tending to anything that my physical body might need. Am I thirsty? Have I eaten? Do I need to take a break for some deep breath? It's really just those basic things for me, and having that support and knowing that my guides are with me and knowing that I'm aligned with my purpose every time that I show up to sing, even if it's like a train wreck, which I don't know, those are the things that my brain goes to. Oh my God, what if I totally screw this up? But even if you do, you can still talk to the audience. So I think for me, it's really the mindset stuff is key. And then just doing anything basic that I need to get into my body in that moment based on where I'm at. And maybe on a good day, I don't really need to do much. And I think for me, even the singing actually makes me more grounded and makes me feel in my body more. So in a way, it takes care of itself. It's cool like that.
Yes, I want to thank you so much for joining us here today. And I want to give you the opportunity to reach out to my listeners, for them to connect with you. Do you have any websites, social media platforms? Where is the best place to say hi?
Yeah, I would love to connect with folks. If you're resonating with me or if you're curious about anything that I said, you can go to my website. It's stephanie-elizabeth.com. And there you can sign up for my email list. I email about once a week, depending on intuition and meditation and connecting with your guides. So I really encourage folks to get on my email list, host a monthly meditation circle that's free and it's open to folks who are interested. It's called Spirit Hour. And that's something that you can also sign up for on my website. And if you're interested in really having that customized support and mentoring and facilitation one-on-one, completely personalized to strengthen your intuition and build relationships with your guide and build more self-acceptance and begin inner peace, because we're so stressed out. So if that's something that you're ready for, you really want that, please get in touch with me. I would love to work with you in my one-on-one coaching and mentoring program so we can get you meeting your goals and feeling better, because life can be easier. So I would say tell people to go to my website, and from there, of course, you can connect with me. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, but my email list is really the best place to stay in touch with what I'm on.
Okay, thank you so much. We hope to see you next time.
Thank you so much.